I'm going to start. My name is Ron Klontz, and I've been with Grace Chapel since it started. I moved here with Steve from California in 1994 with my wife, Patricia. And then we've just kind of gone through the tasks of building the church, and we just thank God that it's turned out the way that it has, where the thousands and thousands of people are being touched by God's grace and His mercy. 2007, I had to move from our beautiful house in Forest Crossing back to Arizona to take care of my mom and dad. My dad had to go into assisted living, and the only place we could get them together in an apartment was in Arizona. And my dad was originally from Arizona, and that's why he wanted to go back there. His only living brother was there. And so Pat and I made the decision to sell our house here, move back there. And so, but ever since Grace Chapel started, I've been the administrative pastor here. I didn't come on staff until 2001, I believe. But I was fortunate enough that Steve asked me to continue to do it. I guess I have the longest telecommute of many people in the United States, but I've been coming back pretty much every quarter for board meetings and just to do certain types of work here since 2007 for the last 9.5 years. My dad went to heaven in 2010, and my mom just turned 98, and she's still going strong. So we don't know how soon we're going to get back here, but God's going to take us back. We bought a house in Spring Hill about 2 years ago, so now we have two homes. Not thinking that mom would go this long, but so we're supporting two mortgages and making trips. But the good thing about having the house is that now we're able to come back and stay for a couple of months at a time. So my brother's in Arizona, and he's taking care of my mom while we're here. We have a daughter here who's married with two kids. I have a son in Arizona who's married with two daughters, and so we get the opportunity of visiting both of them pretty regularly. So it's kind of a blessed thing in that area. So that's kind of where we're at now, and we're just praying that God will use us however He can and in whichever way we're blessed to be there. So, and I met Craig, who's a good friend, even though he's an Oregon Duck fan.
He's a USC Trojan fan.
Yeah. So I met Craig 2001. So we've known each other for 15 years. And we both serve on the elder board. And he's really a blessing to know, he and his wife, Barbara.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Well, my name, like Ronnie said, is Craig May. Just to give you a little background, I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest. Born in Washington State and then was raised in Oregon. That's why I'm an Oregon Duck fan, and go Ducks and go Mariota.
Yep.
I was...
That's a good thing.
Yes. I was brought up in the Salvation Army, which many people don't realize that the Salvation Army is a church. And so I was one that was brought up playing in the brass band, and I was out on the... We would go out in the open airs and all that with our preacher standing on the soapbox, just like the traditional Salvation Army way of ministering. So that's where I was brought up. My grandparents were officers or pastors in the Salvation Army. But I moved out to Alabama, where I ultimately met my beautiful wife, Barbara.
Yes.
We've been married for 21 years. We have twin daughters who just turned 16.
Wow, you Saturday. Are getting old, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting very old. I can't believe it. But one is working on her driver's license, and she's probably going to get it in a couple days. And the other has no interest in driving, which we say, thank you, Lord, for that. But so we love it here in Tennessee. We moved from Alabama to Tennessee 15 years ago. And... of course, fell in love with the church, and Ronnie and Pat are awesome. Love, in fact, he helped me when I started my own business to do my books. I don't know if you remember that.
Yep.
That was a huge help. I needed all the help I could get. But we love it here. We know that God brought us here, and to be a part of a church that is passionate about the kingdom of God
Yes.
Is just been is great to be a part of. And that's why our mission statement is to equip people to be passionate servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about, is to live our lives for the Lord. So saying that, we're going to talk about two subjects, and I know that I'm not sure if you know, but we're going to God's love first. Not sure where that is in your number one. That's good.
That's where it should. Myron did good.
That's right. Absolutely. And what we're going to do is we're going to go over these points. And what we'd encourage you, like I'm sure the others, other teachers have, is to read over the details of the scripture, especially God's love portion is right out of 2 Samuel chapter 9. It's based on the story of Mephibosheth and how David took him in and just the love David showed, which is a demonstration of God's love. So if you would read that, that would be great. But what we want to, what we want to do is go through these points so that you understand how that works and how important that is to us. Because these topics are very important for the foundational beliefs of the church. Mm-hmm. So that's why we are talking about them. Sure.
I'd like to say one thing. If you go back before chapter 9 in 2 Samuel and read the story about Jonathan and David, it is such a beautiful story about friendship. I mean, it's the best one in the Bible. And so when you understand the friendship between Jonathan and David, you can understand why he did what he did for Mephibosheth. So.
And what's cool about that, Ronnie, is that what that really shows is in that story is David is kind of like the God figure, mm-hmm. and Jonathan is Jesus, and we're kind of like Mephibosheth. So David showed that passionate love for Mephibosheth because of his love for Jonathan.
Yeah.
So that is absolutely, that's excellent.
It's really a lovely story.
It is. It yeah. really is. So, but what we're going to do is we're going to start and we're going to go through these. So you could also fill in the blank if you're one that likes to do that. So the very first point in God's love is that God's love seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. Okay, so it seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. And so what's important for us to understand is that God's love, it's not discriminatory.
That's
it
right.
loves everybody. And that's one of the things that drives us as a people of God and us specifically here in Grace Chapel, that we want to reach everybody. We want to show God's love to everybody. And you might see that how we have so many different ministries that target all the different
yep.
types of people that we possibly can that the Lord equips us to touch, because we want to make sure everyone feels the love of God. We want to make sure that we are the conduit of God's love to everyone, because
yes.
that's the heart of God. Okay.
God's love also saves the lame, the crippled, the dropped, and the fleeing. And so in this story, the way Mephibosheth became lame was that he was dropped off of a donkey that his servant was trying to help him escape from King David. Here at Grace Chapel, we have long held that we're a hospital. And I remember early on, we had folks coming to Grace Chapel that were basically disowned by other churches, by other religions, for something that had happened either in their family or directly related to some relative in their family. And so they would come to Grace Chapel and find out that they were accepted no matter what their background was. So we were trying to be a hospital, especially in the Bible Belt where there is so much religion going on here. We really felt it was important to reach out to those folks that had been damaged by the churches that they grew up in. You know, to grow up in a church all your life and then be kicked out of it because something a relative did was really devastating to some folks they could come to Grace Chapel and receive grace and mercy and a lot of compassion and a lot of love. And that was our main focus at that time.
Very good. And God's love reaches to the barren places. And one of the things that a lot of people who don't even know God don't realize that their lives are in a barren place. And God reaches to everyone who are in that barren place. And like in the story of Mephibosheth, he was living in a place called Lo-Debar, which meant a barren land.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's what God does. He reaches when we are in a very barren place. And like one of the ministries that we have here at Grace Chapel is Room at the Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And where we reach, we go and we're part of many churches that are doing this ministry. I don't know if you've heard of it, but we'll go and we'll bus in homeless men, and they will come and we'll set up a place up in our fellowship hall where they could actually give them a meal, and we'll give them a good place to sleep, and then they'll be able to shower and all of that,
clothes.
And we can love on them and minister to them. You know, just like God reaches to the very barren places where people are desperate for his love.
Patrick just shared something in staff meeting this week. He's Steve's brother, and he heads up that ministry. He ran into a guy in the shopping center, and the guy in the shopping center said, do you remember me? Do you recognize me? And he says, well, my name is so-and-so, and I was in the Room in the Inn 2 years ago. I now have a place to live, I have a job, and I'm functioning in society again. And it was because of Room in the Inn. So that, I mean, when you see blessings like that happen and see people's lives touch it, it absolutely makes it all worthwhile.
Amen.
God's love removes fear. With the love of God, we don't have to fear anything. We know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's what we try to do here at Grace Chapel. Share God's love in a way that people can reach out and do the things that they need to do without fear of failure or fear of retribution or fear of condemnation. And one of the things that I hear time and time again, where people will be in gas stations or it'll be in a grocery store, where the Holy Spirit will tell them, you need to go pray for that person. And without having the love of God remove the fear of approaching somebody out of love, you couldn't do that. One example is Anne Marie Helmsworth. She was at Costco gas station. She went up to a lady. The Lord told her to go up to a lady and pray for her. Well, she walked up to her and said, can I pray for you? And the lady immediately broke down crying. And she had just found out that she had cancer. So, I mean, that was just a God-appointed time. And Anne Marie cast out all fear to go up and love on that lady.
Amen.
That's good.
Yep, that is really good.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it also, God's love produces restoration. And that's one of the most beautiful aspects of the love of God, because we, by nature, are separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the sin nature, we are separated from God. But yet, God, when he redeems us, he brings restoration. That's one of the amazing things about our relationship with God. And I'm trying to think of the ministry, and I, for some reason, my mind blanks on Monday night.
Celebrate Recovery.
Celebrate Recovery.
Yep.
Like we
yep.
have, I know Randy...
Thomas.
Randy Thompson.
Yes.
Rick Kua. They head that up. Mm-hmm. And what it deals with, people who are broken or who have had addiction and those sorts of things, and helps bring them to a place of restoration through, you know, mutual love and respect and encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what God's people do. That's what the kingdom of God does. Is it to bring, in fact, the very thing that Ronnie's talking about, how, you know, it's just to bring that restoration is mm-hmm. so important. That is a key element of the kingdom life, and that we love to see that when people have their lives changed by the love of God, God brings that restoration. It's just like in Joel, he restores what the locusts have eaten. Mm-hmm. He restores. Mm-hmm. God is faithful to do that.
Yeah. And then God's love brings secure adoption. Adoption. Grace Chapel is very involved in the adoption ministry. We support Life Song adoption in a big way. We've had probably 10 or 12 folks that have gone through adoption through the auspices of Life Song. Life Song is an international adoption agency that deals mainly with churches, and we supported Life Song for probably the last 6 or 7 years. We're currently working with a family to adopt a special needs child from Bulgaria, and she goes to Grace Chapel here, and so she's using Grace Chapel's account in Life Song to secure that adoption. And without that help, it's a very expensive process, especially if it's foreign, because you have to make several trips overseas. And so just the fact that Grace Chapel can come alongside this agency that specializes in doing this work just really helps folks out. Like, I don't know if you all remember Jake Spencer. Well, their little son Micah was adopted from the Ukraine using Life Song. So going back to what Steve said on Sunday that I thought was so cool is that God, the creator of the universe, but we can call him Abba Father. That means that we're adopted into his family. Amen. And that's through his love for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that...
I thought you would kiss me.
No, you were the one coming at me.
I'll be like Al Gore, huh?
Sorry about that. One thing that I wanted to also point out, my brother and his wife, they adopted a girl from Ukraine as well when she was 11. And a cool story about that, they lived down in Alabama, but when they adopted their daughter, one of the cool things that happened is they took her birth certificate and redid her birth certificate and rewrote it. And when they gave it to him, it was as if she was their daughter from the day she was born.
Hallelujah.
And that's the way it is with God,
it
right?
Is.
With
yes.
us, with God. It's like we've always been his children. You know, once we are adopted into family, it's like we've always been his kids from the very day we were born. So anyway, I thought that was
That's really, a good point
really cool.
as well. Yeah.
All right, and God's love covers imperfection and lameness. Now, here's one thing that we always try to encourage everyone to be involved in ministry. And many times we're like, you know, we don't have what it takes. We don't have the great speaking ability, or we don't have, you know, the love for kids or whatever it might be. But God, if we have the willing heart, God will use us mightily. All we have to do is be available. And one of the great stories that when I used to teach just this God's love in its entirety is in Corrie ten Boom, when she, after all the horrific things she went through in the concentration camps and all that, and she was called out to the ministry, she went back to Germany to preach. And a man came up after the sermon, and he said, Fräulein, and she recognized him. He was a guard at the concentration camp where she was, and he was brutal. He was, and it was like, and he said, thank you for your speech and for your talk, and that I can, you know, I can be forgiven, and, mm-hmm. and thank you for that. And she's like, Lord, I can't shake this man's hand. You know, it was like, I cannot do anything. And all of a sudden, she felt like just an overwhelming sense where she lifted up her hand, and she had a supernatural love for this man. It was not natural. And then she realized she can't love the man. Only God through her can love that man. Mm-hmm. You know, and that
that's
God
tough.
God uses us. That's one of the things. We can't be afraid. We've got to be able to be used, be able to be available to be used, because God's going to do it. And that's one of the things. We have many ways where we want to plug you in to minister to use the gifts God's given you, but you have no excuse to say, I can't do that. you know, or whatever. You don't. You know, God's going to use you in a powerful way. You just have to be available to Him. So we encourage you to jump in to see where do you want us to minister? Yeah. You know, in Grace Chapel, outside of Grace Chapel, but as part of our body, where do you want me to minister and be effective in the kingdom?
That's good. That's good. Well, the next section we're going to go into is the foundations in unity. And the first section there is that we are all equal in the kingdom of God. And we really have to stress this point, because there's no one person in the kingdom of God that's any better than the other. We're all sinners. Our sins are all alike. One may be at a higher degree than the other according to society, but in God's eyes, our sin is sin, and we need a Savior. So that makes us all equal, so that when we come into Grace Chapel, there's no one person that's better than the other. And we really try to stick to that we don't try to show favoritism. We don't give people positions in leadership because of who they are or the amount of money that they have. It's everybody's that comes here is equal. And I know Steve well enough that is exactly his heart. So it's really important that as you're stepping out, like Craig said, to go into a ministry, you're the same as everybody else. We're all the same. We're all equal, and we have God will give us the gifts and the talents that we need to do what He's calling us to do. Mm-hmm. I am not a public speaker. I'm an accountant, business manager, and for me to do things like this is really, really tough. So, but through the mercy of God that I'm able to get up here and do this. So, amen. It's tough.
All right. We are all given authority in Christ, and this is going to piggyback. A lot of these are going to piggyback on things we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. But when we become sons and daughters of God, we're ambassadors, and He gives us a mantle of authority that we should not be afraid to use and to be able to say, Lord, you know, You've given us, you've empowered us to go out and do the things that You're calling us to do. So, and just like Ronnie said, it's not that one's better than the other. You know, we all play, you know, it's a beautiful scripture talking about the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and how we all have our unique role in the body of Christ. But God has given each one of us authority in the spiritual realm, and authority to do the things that He's equipped us and called us to do. Mm-hmm. And we can't be afraid to use that authority, because many mm-hmm. times Satan tries to use fear to try to keep us from being who God created us to be and who God called us to be. And that's one of the things we try to do here at Grace Chapel. Again, like, we try to encourage everybody to step in to the authority that God has given us. And that is so important. That is so important. So we want to encourage you to do that as you join in with the body to take on the authority, with knowing that it's God's authority, you know, and we're just His servants. We're His ambassadors. We're His children. So it's an exciting thing, and we just mm-hmm. want to encourage you to step into that authority that God
Absolutely.
Has given.
The glue for unity is remembering what Jesus did for us. And, you know, the ultimate thing that He did for us, that he gave His life that we might have eternal life with our Father. But the other thing that I think, dealing with the authority concept that Craig was just talking about, is just before Jesus ascended into heaven, He said that He's going to give, He was talking to the disciples, that He's going to give them the power that He possessed, mm-hmm. and that He's going to give us the Holy Spirit that will allow us that authority to do things in His name. And in doing that, that brings us together in unity in one body, because we all have that power. We all have Jesus in us. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. That makes us one. And, you know, the scripture that a house divided can't stand. Well, we're not going to be divided in the kingdom of God. We're going to stay together, and we're going to do the things that He's called us to do. And Grace Chapel is very adamant about doing that.
Very good. Unity is a reality we already have in Christ, not something we strive for. Unity in the body, you know, that's one of the areas, you know, we recognize here at Grace Chapel, one of the areas where God attacks his church is in unity. He tries to divide us. Mm-hmm. And that those divisions are, you know, it's really basic stuff that Satan tries to use. For one, it's our pride, and it's also we have to realize that we need to be pushing for each other, you know, and we have nothing to fear about position and all that, because like what we've been talking about, we are all equal in the body of Christ, and it's him, it's about Jesus, it's about God. So it is so important to have that unity, to understand who we are. And there's going to be another talk, our identity in Christ, that you will hear. I don't know if you've already heard it, but it's one that we'll be talking about, somebody will be teaching. And that's important to understand who we are, so we don't have to worry about, is somebody else bigger or less? You know, Jesus said the least among you will be greatest in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So we, by nature, when we are born again, we're at total peace of who we are in Christ Jesus, right? So we don't have to worry about position. We don't have to worry about any of that. We need to root for each other. You know, that's so important, you know, to know it's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. And, you know, that's one of the things we emphasize here at Grace Chapel, is to just to encourage each other, to root for each other. But we're all in this together. You know, we're our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers and the dark places, the spiritual powers that hover around us, the satanic powers. That's our enemy. And a lot of times Satan tries to make us think somebody else is our enemy, and that's never the case. Mm-hmm. Relationship is so important in the kingdom, you know, that we build each other's relationship, that's a point of emphasis. And throughout Grace Chapel, throughout our ministry, that's what we strive for, is solid relationships with each other through the power of Jesus, to encourage each other so that we walk in unity. Isn't that awesome to be able to do that?
Yes.
So that's what it takes. And if we're doing that, I mean, you know, Satan, that he's lost one of his biggest weapons. So we really encourage people for us to walk in that unity that God has given us already.
Yeah. There's a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. I think we've touched on this already about who we are and the different titles that we want to acquire. In God's kingdom, God makes those appointments. But in the world, man makes those appointments. So if you're striving to attain a position just to have that position, that's not the right way to do it. You want to achieve the position through a God appointment, not a man appointment. And here at Grace Chapel, an example that came to mind is our elder board.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I thought that was our sign. But anyway, like say for the elder board, if you want to achieve the position of an elder, and you go up and ask Steve and tell him, I want to be an elder because I think that's what I should be, that's not going to happen. The elder board, God makes the appointment first. We'll bring in candidates and Steve will present them, and then we will all discuss those men, what they've done in the church, how they act, what their demeanor is, and then we will all vote as to whether or not that person would be an elder. And one of the long-standing positions that we've had on the elder board and our financial advisory board, and this kind of comes into the unity part of it in total, is that if we are not in 100% agreement as to any subject that we're talking about, we table it. And if we never get 100% agreement, it never gets passed. So we don't go out where it's a a 60-40 thing where 60% of the elders are in favor of something, 40% are against. If that's the vote, it might as well, it's just not passed. And we've done that from the very beginning, and it's always worked great. Because it's just, we just don't want to have division among the elders, because when they start fighting with each other, then, and we've never had that. We've never had that in the 21 years here at Grace Chapel. Then the other thing we don't have, I think Steve may have mentioned this in the standing class, is that we don't have committees and we don't have congregational votes, because that is the number one key of anything that will cause disunity in a church. You have 50% wanting the carpet red and 50% wanting the carpet blue, and then pretty soon, boom, you have a church split. I've seen it. And so we don't like that. So we've got to have unanimous agreement whenever we make a decision.
Very good. I'm going to step back to one, number five. It says, we all have equal access to the Father in the kingdom. And again, that kind of plays along with what we've all already been talking about. For us to understand who we are in Christ, we all have access to the Father. We all have equal access. There's not somebody who is closer, you know, to the Father, because we're all approach the Father because of Jesus. When Jesus, when we approach the throne of God, what God sees is His Son. Because of the Holy Spirit in us, He sees Jesus, because what Jesus has done for us, He sees. That's who God sees. So we all have equal access to the Father. Again, to emphasize the point that we have to understand who we are in Christ, and that and what a privilege it is to approach God, to approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, sometimes we say these things and it doesn't really sink in what we're talking about, you know, that we have access to the Father. You know, one of the things that that you probably know that Steve has taught about, as well as Don Finto and others, is that when Jesus died in the temple, there was a thick
veil,
the veil, and it was like a foot thick or something. It was crazy, and there was no way it could be torn, but that was to physically keep people out from the presence of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to that veil? From the top to the bottom, it ripped in two. It was symbolic. I mean, it really happened, but it was like God saying, because of Jesus Christ, my Son, and what He did on the cross, we can have access to the Father, and we all have equal access to the Father. Isn't that cool? Yeah,
that's cool.
So that's something we want to, again, to emphasize, that we can and encourage all of our members, our fellow brothers and sisters, to approach God, to use that, to approach God through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I skipped that one, didn't I?
Sorry. No, that's okay. No.
Division, jealousy, and selfishness undermine corporate unity. I'm not going to go into that one a lot, because I think that is absolutely self-explanatory. Anytime we're selfish, or we're trying to achieve our own ambition, or division just causes strife, disunity, and it just doesn't work in God's kingdom. So
right.
I think that's good enough on that one.
I think so. That's good. Okay, number eight, there is unity when we walk in kingdom authority. And again, so many of these are so similar, but when we understand who we are in Christ, and when we're living our lives through Christ, the unity is just going to come, because all of the stuff that causes divisions and that causes the breakdowns in relationships, that vanishes. Mm-hmm. It's just not there.
Yeah.
So our number one focus is not, okay, we need to get along. That shouldn't be. It should be approaching the Father and walking in the authority that God has given us. And if we're focused on the kingdom, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, and we're walking in the authority that God has given us, unity's going to be there.
Yep.
Unity's going to come, because our focus is on Jesus, which means we're going to love each other, because that's just part of it, because that's what we want. We want to see everybody thrive in their kingdom work. And so that's, again, we encourage everyone to understand who we are in Christ and to walk in that kingdom authority.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one, walking in unity always brings a blessing. That's self-explanatory there. I mean, when the whole body of Christ is getting along, it's nothing but a blessing. And then when it's not getting along, you can see some of the strife that we go through. And so, but here at Grace Chapel, we have, to my knowledge, we've not had any strife that's caused division or jealousy or any of those things. It's, I think in large part, that's just God's blessing on us for being obedient. And, you know, being obedient to His Word and to His teachings is our number one goal, I think. So, did we go over, Daryl?
You're almost right at 5 minutes left. Tell examples of some of the things that you touched on, just being here so long in the church, or other things that you've seen, maybe just explaining anecdotal stories.
Boy, what to touch on. One of the things that has really been a blessing to me in Grace Chapel, and it really deals, I believe, in unity, is the generosity of the folks at Grace Chapel. I mean, from the very beginning, when we were over at Hillsborough Middle School, we wanted to bless the school there with something. So Steve went to the principal and says, "Is there anything that we can do to bless the school for letting us meet there in the way that they did?" And so Mrs. Lewis said, "Well, you know, our kindergartners don't have a playground. Basically, the school board condemned the playground they had because the equipment was so old, it was dangerous." And so Steve came back, and we were probably not more than 50 or 60 people at the time. I mean, this was early on, 1994, 1995 era. And so Steve addressed the congregation and said, "This is what we'd like to do. We'd like to buy the school a playground." And so he took up a special offering, and those 50 to 70 people raised $13,000. And not only did they raise the money, but then they came out and installed it. The men got up on these jungle gyms and with hammers and nails and bolts and everything, put this thing up. The women painted the old equipment that we could salvage. And so it was an entire church event to put up that playground. But what a blessing it was to see that during the week, now all of these kindergartners are outside playing on the new playground. And time after time, excuse me, was when the need was there, the folks of Grace Chapel met it. And, you know, it's gone all the way through up until the last sacrificial offering we had. I mean, it's the coming together, the unity, recognizing the need, and just blessing one another that way. To me, that's
very cool.
I think that's the single most thing that I recognize in the folks of Grace Chapel and what's happened over the years is just the generosity. It can't be matched.
One of the things that I noticed, while I was working in the children's ministry, early on we just didn't have the capability. Like when people would come and they had special needs kids, it was very, very difficult. But as the Lord gave us the resources, we made that a priority. And if you've ever heard of the Can-Do Ministry, that is awesome. As far as showing God's love, that we would actually, so families can come in with these special needs children, and there would either be a Sunday school class with just special needs that were more extreme, and the less extreme, they would have a buddy that would go into their normal classroom and that would be there for them in case they got a little disruptive, but they were right there to handle that child. And what a blessing that is to the families, to the parents, so they can come to church knowing that their kids are going to be loved mm-hmm. and taken care of. So that's one of those that I thought that was so cool to see that emphasis that we as a church put on the least and the lost, those who are forgotten by a lot of people, and put an emphasis on loving those kids. And you see that ministry thriving under Amy McCarthy, and she's done an outstanding job with that ministry. So
one of the ministries that we were involved in that I think have had lasting effects with respect to the example that Greg used about the barren places is that we went into Uganda several years ago. It was when before Darfur, and the rebels of the north were coming down and killing all the Christians, the men and women in the south of Sudan. And so basically what happened, it created a bunch of orphans that when their villages were raided, they would just go out into the bush. And the only way they could survive was to come across the border into Uganda. And so we went over there and took a group of men, about 30 men, and we built shelters over there. We basically small camps for these kids to come into that we could feed them, treat them medically, and give them shelter. And then right from that, we went into South Sudan literally, and we drilled 4 wells over there. We built a community building. We built a medical facility. We built a couple of churches. And we're still involved in that ministry now. And just here recently, I guess in the last 3 or 4 years, they've had at least a half a dozen attacks by outside tribes that will come into Jola, I think is how you pronounce it. And they'll go in and just raid the community and take all their stuff. And so then we'll help them rebuild. And so we're still involved in that ministry. And then the other one that's really big to my mind is Josiah's House. Down in the Dominican Republic. Have any of you been down there? Little boys on the street don't matter. They're out there fending for themselves, and they do whatever they can do to live. So we went down there, built 2 homes. We're getting ready to build a couple more. And each home will house 8 boys that are orphans down there. And that they will have house parents, and they're going to be trained up in God's kingdom. These kids are taught English. They're special. Some of them don't even have education. 8, 10, 12 years old, have never been in school. And so we're putting them through school, godly parents teaching them the ways of God, and just giving them new lives. Some of our men here are going down there and teaching them trades. Just recently we had a half a dozen men go down there and taught them how to do plumbing. And so that it's just changing lives down there. It's a really, really big thing. We've been involved in that probably since 2009, and that's going really well. So I guess our time's up. So Daryl, it's all yours.
Kind of one point I wanted to make on that from a unity standpoint, it's really nice when a church focuses on Jesus, and it's funny how everybody can just come into unity together rather than focusing on the carpet or the new building or the new whatever, or who believes what or all that stuff, you know. So my wife and I actually just came from a church when we came here that is actually being kind of torn apart right now, because it's all of, you know, who wants power and who's on the deacon board and who's on all that stuff. And you just see, it's so sad when they're not focusing on what they're there for in the first place. So,
yeah.
So, but it's really kind of nice because it just keeps you ultra focused on what you're really there for. So,
yeah
pretty amazing.
Yeah. I've seen it where elders will get together and draw people together just to fire a pastor. Because one person didn't like them. So they'll, you know, it's almost political.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a political environment.
Sisters Church, and they're broken hearted. They love their pastor. And
It's terrible.
She's just beside herself.
That's why unity is so important.
Mm-hmm. My heart
aches. Right, and then all of a sudden you have all these people out there wandering, you know, all of a sudden just without a home. So, But that's unity, and that's what I love about Grace Chapel, is just the unity is there, and we're all running forward instead of looking backwards. Yeah. So, Okay, so we're going to do our favorite part and break up into small groups. And we're talking like three or four. We have almost this year.